This week's episode has been brought to you by the paid subscribership of Adrian. You too can be a paid subscriber and not be a freeloading jerk by going to thedadpodcast.com, and just $24 a year would change our lives. Thanks and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 105, and we are here. We are not queer.
Get used to it.
Get used to it. Thank you.
And speak for yourself, sailor.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. You and I think are rocking a little bit of a bromance.
I think so, too.
I feel like I get a lot of flack from the listeners saying that I get too fresh with guests talking about how handsome they are. I don't know what's up with these guys and their masculinity issues, but
I can't imagine what guest you're talking about, because from the string of them I've seen.
How dare you? Wait, are you talking about you? Just...
Well, yeah, sure. I'm talking about me.
We had a lady in here recently.
Oh, I see. I thought they meant... No. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Dr. Tina was...
she's delightful.
She was delightful in every way.
Right.
I was thinking more along the lines of the male guests that we've had. It wasn't like Zac Efron didn't walk in here.
Listen, one day you will meet one Jeff Meacham and one Johnny Walker.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
They are. Here's what: if you and I were to be the Milli Vanilli of podcasting,
which I'm not sure we aren't, but yes.
then Jeff Meacham and Johnny Walker would be our Milli and Vanilli, and we would be the guys behind the puppet masters.
Yes.
So here's what we're talking about. We're taking calls 877-222-8323.
I'm sorry. I know you just gave out that number.
Yeah.
That sounds like you were just insulting all four of us.
What are you talking about?
Well, we're the guys behind them, so they're good looking and we're not good looking, but we're smart and they're not.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Right. I'm sorry. You can cut that out. We're going to get rid of this part.
No, I appreciate you sidetracking.
Right. Everything.
Slowing everything down to insult my friends.
I didn't insult your friends.
Listen, yes, you did. I didn't mean it that way.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if I was to do a face off in the tradition of, so I have to be super literal, evidently, with you.
Oh, please.
Not where one of them has to be a convict.
I'm just saying, if I could
piss in a fountain and come out looking like someone else, I would choose a Johnny Walker or a Jeff Meacham. They're matinee idol good looks. Isn't that a good thing?
And I would choose you.
Oh.
I see where we stand.
I see. Yeah, well. way to bring the mangina into it. Jeez, Alou. Just set the trap for me and I walked
through. There you go.
Doop a doop.
All right, so you were giving a phone number out. I'm not going to.
877-323. Or no, 877-222-8323 is the number. We're going to be talking tonight about dumb fights. This is my idea. We're going full-blown radio show. We have call-in topics. We have format.
Yeah.
Oh, buckle up. Lots of good feedback on the last episode. But let's here's the thing. I'm going to throw it out to you, Adam. Do you want to talk a little bit about other stuff and wait for some calls to maybe come in?
Or
you
want to get right to a little bit of other stuff and we can move into the main topic in a bit.
I think we should get this checked off right away. Some of the listeners.
Okay.
This is what we're going to go to.
Is this officially email? You're going to do a little email now?
No, this isn't an email. Oh, okay. That's going to be a little bit later.
Okay.
I feel like there's tension. There's tension in the internet. And, I don't know.
I'm bracing
feel like
myself.
It needs to be addressed here. Let's see. Michelle, who listens, said, okay, Paco, I liked you until you said you don't like the Fifth Element.
Oh, no.
So sad, she says. She
not
only does she not like you, she pities you.
Oh,
for not being able to enjoy
to fully appreciate the genius.
What's his name? Poisson?
No, Lupuson.
To not enjoy that. And then also Catherine jumps in. She goes, "I think you guys are great. Really made me laugh today on episode 104. Keep up the good work. I also like The Fifth Element."
Oh boy.
Here's what I find interesting about this little internet flurry. I am going to call it a flurry.
Okay.
This is,
were we trending at all? That's what I need to know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this was in the world of podcasting, when you get two comments on a single post, that means that there are at least, I'm going to go, no exaggeration.
Yes.
500,000 people out there are angry about this.
I think that's a very safe number.
Right.
Yeah.
That's me being conservative.
Exactly.
That's a conservative number. Realistically.
You don't want to go too high.
No. Realistically, probably 2.5 million are angry about your feelings about Lupuson. I think a lot of people are talking. I'm just, again, speculating. There's blogs being written about you endangering our relationship with the French, I think.
Is Mitterrand is upset.
Yeah. So we can't go full blown edgewise. All right. We can't handle that every week. But should. I'm gonna open up the floor to you.
I understand.
Back up your claims.
My position. All right. Well.
And tread lightly. Okay. Please do this. There are sensitive ladies.
I understand.
When women listen to a podcast, all of the same, their cycles sync.
Oh.
So that also could be a part of it.
There could be an uprising.
Right.
Okay, so here we go. First of all, I've been ambushed and shanghaied by both you, Michelle, and was it Catherine?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not fully prepared to defend my entire position, but I will say the following things. I saw it when I was, I was married, I was probably 30.
Okay.
All right. And so I'd had a chance. I was a little bit more seasoned, and I'd had a chance to maybe see a few other movies and get an idea of what might be good or not.
So you're saying that these women have only seen one movie.
Well, I'm suggesting, this is what I'm suggesting, that they're younger than me, and there's a pretty good chance that everybody who listens to this fucking podcast is younger than me. But and so that where they place... You know, it's like, look, I saw Star Wars when I was 12, and it was fantastic. When I look at it as an adult, I go, that thing has a lot of problems. But it touched me as a 12-year-old. So,
I see.
And that's not the only thing to touch me as a 12-year-old.
Mila Jovovich touched me in a way.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
In a duct tape bikini-esque situation.
This is what I'm saying, is that depending on where you enter it, you know, look, the second set of trilogies, the Star Wars trilogies, are just flat out horrible.
Uh-huh.
But my kids love them because they didn't know any better when they came out.
Got it.
And when they're older and they have children of their own, they can live through the shame of going back and seeing them and know that they loved them. So I'm guessing that these two women are a little bit younger, which is fine. It's not to say that or and you, because I was, when I listened to that podcast. By the way, everybody, I listen to every podcast. I'm not sure this gentleman has the time to do that, but I go back, and because I can't get enough of me, frankly.
Who could? I couldn't. That's why I brought you in
here. Listen, I put that last one on a loop. It's just going nonstop.
In your house. Listen to me, everybody.
But I was on the fake radio.
How dare you. I elevate you, and you knock me down.
All right, so listen.
How dare you.
My recollection is that it was visually quite arresting and very, very cool in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was some sexiness to it. I think it's interesting that two women wrote in.
Yeah, that's
because
what I thought.
Because it's a female lead of sorts, but it's, you know,
it's a male audience.
It's a male audience, but he, Luc Besson, often has, you know, the professional Lucy, some of these other things. There's very often a female in a critical and important and a pretty decent role. In that case,
he's got mommy issues.
Quite possibly. All he's trying to make up for something. Shortcomings. He is French.
Mm-hmm.
So next thing you know, yes, we will have trouble with the French. So I find all of that very interesting. And what I'm going to do to honor these two women who wrote in is I will take the time between now and the next time we record to go back and look at the movie again.
You're going to revisit Fifth Element.
I'm going to revisit Fifth Element since the first time in 17 years.
That's devotion.
And I'm going to say, you know, wait, was I off base? Now, I've seen a lot of his work since then, and my guess is that I will not change my opinion that
So you don't
much.
Like any Besson? This isn't just Fifth Element. There's no Besson that's good.
It's hard to get Lucy out of my head. Yeah. It's possible that it has to do with a European aesthetic that the story, I like really structured, I like the story.
You're xenophobic in your film appreciation.
Yes, exactly. I feel like that movie was a little bit of a mess and fairly derivative. And if I remember correctly, it's one of the ones that he had like in his locker since he was 10, and then he finally wrote it. And so it was a movie that a 10-year-old thought of, and then an adult made it, which I think Avatar is the same thing, which is a train wreck. Everybody,
don't go after Avatar! We don't have time! It's an hour show! You can't go after the number one grossing movie of all time.
That's true. I am the single
everybody,
person.
Everybody, calm down. All right, everybody, shut your laptops. Everybody, listen to just the sound of my voice. Okay? It's going to be all right. Just give him a time. All right?
My apologies.
James Cameron is an American. I was okay when you went after the French. And yes, I call him James.
Yes, that's very... Jimbo. It's a very formal.
Don't you ever say those words.
I certainly appreciate the fact that they wrote in and the fact that you said you liked it. I had been thinking about this.
1997 is when it was released. That was the year I graduated high school. So it's not like a 12-year-old me saw it. But
no, that's true.
It's not like a pre-adolescent.
But I'll tell you what. I thought that it was probably something that would appeal to somebody who was about 18 at that time.
Oh.
Since I didn't do the math.
Yeah.
That would have been right. But I was thinking of Antonio, actually.
Antonio? Was Antonio.
Wasn't it Antonio called from...
Oh, yes, yeah. Antonio. He was in his 20s.
Yeah, he was like the Dutch Mexican, or I don't remember what he is. Some strange...
You're right. He's a Dutch Mexican. Wow. Well, you do go back and re-listen.
Yeah.
See, I remember that and didn't even have to listen. Let's talk about that for 20 minutes. We have a format to kill.
Yes.
So, all right.
Anyway, thank you for writing in. I certainly...
So you're not going to apologize? You're not going to backpedal?
That's what
I was doing here.
Hang on a second. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give two more hours of my life to that steaming pile and see if I'm off base.
We have to stop talking about it before you make more women angry. There's a strong chance that they are our only audience holding this community together.
I can't be held responsible for
IMDb
the...
IMDb does not give a running
tremendous...
time that I can see. Oh, 1 hour. Oh, it is 2 hours and 6 minutes.
There you go.
Oh, yikes. Maybe we should watch it together. Because I would like to see you cringe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And scream and yell. No, Bruce Willis, listen, he's good. And, oh, my God. There's some makeup in there, which is absolutely fantastic in that movie. Absolutely. Until...
Because it makes Bruce Willis look like he has a hairline? Is that what you're going to say?
No, there's some sort of thugs, like the Stormtrooper-esque characters that have... I think it's a full head mask, but... It couldn't be CGI because that was too long ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you see something...
They only use that for giant lizards then.
And I think... That's not me, man.
No, it's not.
Anyway. Is it Doreen looking for me?
Yes.
Where's the salt? No, I left them over there. You know what? It's ridiculous at my house.
Uh-oh.
It is like a restaurant over there. Okay, look. We had leftover Chinese
food. Hold on.
Food.
Before you get going.
Yes?
You're on fire today.
I've been looking forward.
But I feel like I need to be here to protect you. You understand? You're a young... a nubile, you understand, podcaster. Okay.
Yes.
Now I'm a guy who's been doing it for 5+ years. So
right.
I know when I step on these landmines, what's going to happen next?
Yes.
My fear is because your wife also listens. You understand? And I'm just saying, take a moment and take a breath, and then maybe you say some things, and then we got to come up with like hand signals, like to steal third, and then I can shit on your wife. And then everybody walks away.
Well, listen, I'm not going to bag on her.
All right.
This isn't specifically about her. Okay. She's, in fact, the only one who cooperated. But, no, it's dinner time, and it's my own fault because I like cooking, and I like making things, and I like making people happy. And and I had a bunch of different picky eaters. All three of them are fairly picky eaters. And so... everyone wants their, just a bad example, everyone might want their toast buttered in a different way. Or a different level of darkness.
I understand.
Right?
But let's.
So you start catering.
I don't want to mess up your momentum, but I just, for the sake
That's
of
all you want to do.
Theater of the mind.
Yes.
I wanted, how many different ways can one butter a toast? Are we talking like you need to do one stroke towards Mecca? Or is it the amount of butter?
I'm sure it's the amount of butter, yes.
Okay.
And in the case of Luna, it's there is probably directional issues and she just lets it go or whatever. But actually, I don't really make them that much toast, so it was a bad example. But in any case, the point being that it sort of expanded from that kind of, I want it set on two, that guy wants it set on one.
Yeah, you're a short order cook in your own home.
Being a short order cook and making three completely unrelated meals.
Yes.
for, you know, all these people. And so I was like, oh, I know what I'll do tonight. We have all this leftover Chinese food. We ran out of the rice, but I can throw together some rice. They all eat the rice that I make. Boom, everyone's solved. Two of them won't eat the leftover Chinese food. Now, they've done it before, but tonight they won't. So she had orange chicken with brown rice. Griffin had
you poor man.
Yeah, he had a rice-a-roni thing I make with this chicken. I cut it up and I cook it and I put like the taco spice on it, so it gets coated in this glaze. It's actually pretty good, but it's fairly labor intensive.
And then throw it in with some Mexican rice. Rice-a-roni.
No, it's not even Mexican rice-a-roni. It's usually this. It's this yellow rice. I don't know what it is. It's just chicken, chicken flavor rice, whatever.
Oh wow, with some taco seasoning, chicken on it.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then Hudson had a chicken tender. So I had three different types of chicken, two different types of rice, and 45 minutes to put it all together in. And then I wolfed down my own leftover Chinese food standing at the sink like
this
an animal.
This makes me sick to my stomach.
It is. It's just stupid.
These people.
So, and it's all just like, well, bring it in here. It used to be like, when I call them in and they go, well, the food's not on the table. Why are you calling us here?
Are you shitting me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they take forever and it gets cold. I get so angry. The worst part of my day is waiting for them to come in and eat.
I will be the Hyde to your Jekyll. I will. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I will get over there. I need a cattle prod's too much because I don't want to hurt anybody. But you know what I mean? Like, I need every parent needs some form of discipline in the way that police officers have those riot bags they shoot from a shotgun, the beanbags that hurt like hell, but don't really like make you unconscious or incapacitate you. They say, stop fucking with me.
Or leave a mark.
Right. That's what we need, is we need some kind of like sock full of oranges equivalent that I could come over and beat the living fuck out of your children and your wife. Listen, I will beat your wife for you. That's the lie.
Thank you. That's what friends are for.
That is what this podcast will now be. Since since you came on board, this podcast will now be... It wasn't bad enough before, just that I was an asshole to my own family.
Right.
But now you will just be a further example to plummet me further down into...
Asshole at large,
yes. Into dictum. The fact that you're, A, making multiple meals... you have teenagers.
Yes.
Who could butter their own fucking bread. Let's be honest.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I have two toddlers, right? If I make something and they go, I don't like it, I'm like, sounds like you're fucking screwed.
Right.
That's what I made. Enjoy it. Because I am so sick and goddamn tired of trying to make something that everybody's going to love only to have it be like,
I don't want that.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then someone comes up at like 10 o'clock at night and go, hey, listen, can you make me a whatever? I'm like, no, the kitchen closed hours ago.
They asked for something at 10 o'clock at night?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, these people. You know what's good? Adam and I play Call of Duty with his kids from time to time.
Yes.
I'm gonna shoot the shit out of your kids.
Do it, man. Oh, my God, I laughed so hard. They came around a corner the first game that we played with him. Chad told me later. You know, I said to Diego, I said, watch this corner. And then they walked around it, and he
pow!
Just wailed on them. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got a lot going on here. But let's try juggling, because it is worth it. Is that anybody who is a gamer, or maybe you're not, but your kids are. If you have teenagers, especially, I think that you were kind of on the cusp, where maybe you played games, but you played them back when they were aliens going in a circle or driving a circle around in a maze kind of a thing, you know?
Right. Yes.
I like that it makes me sound super young, because I don't know the names of like Galactica and Pac-Man.
Listen,
that wasn't my intent.
Pong was new when I was young.
So you understand the video games, you're a part of the culture, but you're not into dual analog sticks and
nine
different buttons off the top of my head, I think is right. And so there's multiple commands.
Oh, they just bought a new gun today, by the way.
A gun controller?
No, just a gun.
Oh, a gun within the game.
A DLC gun that allows them to switch it between two different guns in the same gun. And I'm like, you're not allowed to use
that good.
It's the
Ripper is what you're talking
about.
Ripper.
I said, you can't use that when you play with us.
It's not that good.
Okay.
In my experience.
I tried it and I was.
Yeah, well, it's not fun.
I'm not a good example.
Because when you, it's only good. This is so, now it's Call of Duty talk.
No. I have a parenting related video game.
So anyway, and let me check the calls. No, we're good.
No one cares.
No one cares about dumb fights. Evidently, I'm the only one having dumb fights. for. No, that when you have it on submachine gun, which is it's just changing the sight technically, and so when you have it and you shoot it, it does, the recoil is crazy,
right?
So so it's only really good as an assault rifle in my experience. Okay. Now again, I haven't toyed with it a lot, blah blah blah.
All
so
right.
Off of Call of Duty talk, get back to Short Order Cook.
All
or
right.
You have a Call of Duty parenting.
Yeah, sort of. Okay, so this is some time ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty bad at these games, as I think we may have established here. But so there's one. It's the level, the one that I'm missing a star on. It's a spec op and all of this, and I'm trying to get that third star, trying to get it at the hardest level, and I'm working my way up to that, whatever it is. But when I sit down to do that, it's 30 minutes, sometimes 45 minutes if I'm playing alone to get through this one mm-hmm. stupid mission, because I'm sucky. And it's like this out, it's like an oil rig, and there's, you know, things, and there's all noise, and people are shooting, and there's all this stuff, and helicopters. It's just, it's madness and cacophony. And so I'm like, well, I don't really have time to do this whole level before I have to go get somebody at school. But I could just play up to a certain point, put on pause, run and get them, come back, finish it. Because I'm a quality father.
Yes.
And and so, you know what? I have an awesome iPhone. I'll set the alarm. It'll go off. Pin perfect. 35 minutes, whatever it is. And boom, I'll go get my younger boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm playing, and I'm kicking ass, and I'm working my way up, and I'm like, this is incredible. And I get to, like, the third level of the structure, which usually takes me a fair amount of time. And it suddenly occurs to me that it usually takes me longer than 35 minutes to get to this point. What time is it? 55 minutes. Now, it wasn't that the iPhone failed. All right? It was that I had set it to that Auga alarm. Which sounds exactly like all the crazy noise in the game.
Oh, no.
So I just thought it was a siren going off in the fucking game, and I had ignored it for 20 minutes.
Cut to you pulling up looking like the stoniest
father in
the world.
Oh, he was already being held in the main office there, you know, because when they're not collected out front, they get taken to a special corral.
Oh, boy.
And they get, so I was just horrified.
Was this when they were in elementary school? Because at least that elementary school loves you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'd put in by that.
I know
point,
we've told this on the story on the show, but that when I registered my son, I screwed up and forgot like two or three things. So I was on my third run, and the ladies at the front office were giving me the stink eye, like
right.
This guy's gonna be one of those. We're stuck with him for 6 fucking years.
Yeah,
and you and I made a deal. This was your idea. That we would do like the emergency contact since we live right across the street.
Right, right.
So
yeah,
I put you guys
down for both of them.
Right. So I put you guys down. I put the Dooleys and I put your name and all that stuff. And
then,
and it was so surreal. Not that I don't love you and your family. Clearly I do. But it's just surreal to be sitting there and go from the stink eye and then go, you know the Dooleys?
Right.
Now,
not just that you know them. You know me well enough I'm the name you're putting
down. You know the Dooleys to put them on your yellow card? That means you're like family. Did you marry into the Dooley clan? Because you are a jackass. You're not going to besmirch the good Dooley name, are you? That's not you. Are you going to be that guy?
I should walk in there with you one time just so they know it's not all a scam.
Yeah, you walk in. It must be so odd. They reacted like you were the first family. You understand?
Yeah, well.
Like, oh, my God, are aliens real? Like, they expected me to know shit.
Well, on the wall behind them.
Yeah, that's
that frame
what she said.
Is the poem I wrote.
Do you see that right there? And I said, I don't know what I'm looking at, to be honest,
right.
Which was hard to react to a woman who's already choked
right.
up.
She's already choked up.
She goes, in that frame. Excuse me. It's a poem that Adam wrote for us. And he gets us. He gets us. And every time I read it, it makes me weep. Every time. So you're going to be in good hands. Awesome. Awesome. Because I was going to play the angle of like, I think they're kind of jerks.
Right, I'm sure.
In my opinion.
Yeah. You always go against the grain.
All right, so let's get back to Short Order Cook. Because so many thoughts. Like, when you have to know when you do this that, like, you do this because you're kind and nurturing, right? Like
Partly because I don't want a drama. I'm just trying to look.
But look at all the drama that's coming out of you not wanting
drama.
Exactly.
No, I understand. In the end, I end up with all the agitation.
Right.
on everyone else's piece.
Now, are you able to keep your cool and you're just like, okay, yeah, or and then you come here and you get frustrated? I'm
well,
genuinely
tonight,
asking.
Tonight was unusual in that I had, at the beginning of the summer, I just started going, I'm kind of making one thing, and then people are either eating it or not eating it. But during the summer, they're kind of, the normal
different.
Eating rules are just different. I mean, yeah. Hudson has been, they've been living, now this is, I do make for them, but I'm enjoying making it, so it's not a big deal. There's a place nearby, the Cuban bakery slash deli called Porto's, mm-hmm. and they have something there called pan con mantequilla, which just means bread and butter. And they take this little kind of, not French bread, but that idea, and they cut it down so it's like the size of a 6-inch sub or something, and they flip it over and they grill it, and then you basically it's toast.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cuban toast or whatever. So I have been making those at home. We buy the bread that they sell there, they use there.
And you butter it and toast it.
And I butter it, and I put it face down on a griddle, and it comes golden brown. And then I serve it, and Griffin said, Dad, you know what? This was good, but it was a little dry. So now I put another pass of the butter on it before I hand it out.
Oh, my God.
And now they're,
dude, my child,
they're
ever looks
moaning
at me.
In the other room.
I am so fucked. This is now becoming the worst idea I've ever had, having you on this show. This is official. It's got, I'm rock bottom. The fact that your kid looks at you and says, it's a little dry. I would fucking backhand him. I would backhand him so fast. I would take the griddle and press it on his face.
Right. That's that dry enough for you?
Yeah, how's that? You're trying. I would do it. I would use the oils from his teenage face to save my pan. And I would just press it in there. And I don't know how you can maintain the calm.
Well, now I turn these out.
All right, now we've had Fifth Element talk. I need the listeners to just, I don't, here's the thing. I'm not, I want to make it clear that I am not painting it to be that your kids or your wife are horrible people. That's not it.
Right.
It is just an interesting thing, as I've said to you off air and on many a time, is that it is just interesting to me the almost how you and I can be so similar and get along so well and yet be polar opposites when it comes to how we are in our families.
Yeah.
And it's because, and I don't know, to me, I every time this happens to me in my own life, and even when I'm doing it to my wife, like where I'm being a dick about something, we'll get into
I
it,
hope
my,
that's
dumb,
what you meant.
My dumb fights.
Right, dumb fights. Yeah.
Yeah, no, no, that's, listen, that nothing, that's the sad part. Nothing about me is crazy in the sad.
Oh, right, right.
But that, I look, I go, I must be crazy. I must be crazy. But there has to be other people out there who are listening. And I, again, I don't want you to change. That's not my, I hope that's not, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I know this is all for fun on the show, but I want to make sure that you know that deep down inside that I don't think it's a bad thing, really.
Oh, like, no, no, no. I know you're not sitting in judgment because I look at you and I go, Jesus, he's been the last one to tell me what to do.
Exactly.
No, no, it is very fascinating that we have, we share so much sort of worldview and all this other stuff that we're so simpatico, and yet the way in which we execute our bad fathering and parenting and husbanding is polar opposites. Neither one of them effective.
And what now I will try to figure out moving forward is that whose way is easier? Because
your way is easier. Well,
no,
I don't know.
You, that's what I'm saying. I think it's the other way. Here's, I think to a certain extent, my way is easier, just, but it's not that when I die, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There will be a celebration.
Right, right.
It will be a ding dong, the witch is dead type of situation.
Yes.
When you pass, there will be lamenting. There will be.
Will butter my toast?
And I will be looking at Chad going, you're 47 years old. I hope fucking you.
Right.
And he will glare at me and go, I will dance on your grave, old man. That's
right.
That, you know what I
mean? Absolutely. Yes, I mean, Lou and I joke often about dancing on one another's graves. Although, honestly, she's the only one of us who can really dance.
Oh.
So I'll be doing more like the white guy shuffle
or
whatever.
You'll be convulsing on her grave.
Yeah, right. No, I will just be enjoying the love of my second wife on her grave.
But oh,
my new bride.
How great would that be?
Yeah.
Bring back a trophy wife and bed her
services.
On top of oh my gosh. I like this. We're going to do that together.
Very good.
We're going to Eiffel Tower our trophy wives
right
up for the hard part is getting our wives buried next to each other because I don't think we're going to have that reach unless we find a really tall woman.
Right. We just bury them in Trace's yard.
Well, for the sake for the sake of time, let's.
Oh, really?
I know.
Yeah,
that's never been said by me, but I'm really
No,
committed.
I understand.
I want to do
We were just having so much fun and we lost track, but we did cover a couple things.
I want to do the format, but I don't think I'm cutting anything off, right?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Let's see. No, we're fine.
Let's so here are some dumb fights that I've had with my my wife. I asked her. I will end with the one. I had a couple ideas on my own, and then I asked her. I said, "What do you think is the dumbest fight we've ever had?"
Yeah,
and she said, "She goes, well, I don't. Well, I'll get into it then." So the first one, and this one is well documented on the show. But for any new listener, there was I don't even know what we were fighting about. My guess is that it would be the same context as the second fight, which was about money. We used to have allowances. So money was tight, and so I would give us each like $50 a month that we could do whatever we wanted. I never had a problem with my $50. She, of course, could not make it stretch a week and a half, even though it was supposed to go a month.
Right.
And so there was this time where I was frustrated. I was, you know, telling her why it frustrated me. I'm very much the one who communicates my feelings, and this is what I'm feeling, and, you know, how do you feel about this? And she just gets like just talked into a just exhaustion. Like she just said, I see she does this still to this day, although she's getting much better at it. But back then I remember just seeing her like her shoulders sink. Like I was verbally beating her, like just down into,
I'm sure.
Like, not submission. You understand? It's not verbal abuse. It is, but not in that way that normal. Not in a way where she could pick up a cop, call a phone and call the cops.
I understand.
Abuse in the sense
that the verbal equivalent of the bag with oranges, but it's still
it's a filibuster, if you would, more than that. In that way, it is abusive. And so there was this time where she just gave up and she goes, "Can't we just make up and have sex already?" and I said, "No, because I'm still upset." And I said, "And by the way, do you know have any?" And in all seriousness, it sounds like I'm doing this like in a jokey sitcom about my life,
right?
But in all seriousness, I go like I relaunched, I ramped up again for round two of the fight, and said, "By the way, do you have any idea how emasculating it is that I have to say that to you?" and then round two was she used to have this horrible habit of when we would do that allowance, she would always spend it all. But the final thing that would push her over that $50 was always a Burrito Supreme meal at Taco Bell.
Uh-huh.
And I think now after, you know, almost two decades with this woman, I think that what it was is that in her mind, she's like, well, it's not like I'm going over, you know what I mean, $100. I'm not going to Ruth's Chris for lunch.
Right.
I'm going to the cheapest thing that you can find.
Yeah.
And what would frustrate me was the going over at all. Like, I don't understand why that's even a thing.
Right.
And I said, I go, do you know that what you are saying to me when you buy this, because you know it's going to upset me. It's not like this is the first conversation.
Right.
You know that what you're saying is that a Burrito Supreme is more important to you than my happiness. Do you understand that, right?
Yeah,
you get that.
Yes.
Now, why am I saying this on this podcast? Two reasons. Number one, I hope that maybe it'll make somebody chuckle, or they will have some kind, it'll remind them of some funny anecdotal like fight that they had with their loved one and how they've surpassed that. But also, B, I think it's really just so any real man understands why his wife is doing what he's doing. Why she's doing what she's doing.
Right.
Because I think it makes me sound like a total woman when I say that stuff. And I apologize if that is offensive to women.
Now he starts apologizing.
The final one is, unless you have any thoughts on any of this so far. You don't have to.
No. I'm kind of with you on some of that reasoning in the last one. Well, first of all, this is how it would work with me.
Okay.
Is that as you were talking, I'm often not actually listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth. I was thinking about, I was doing the math on, you know, 4 weeks. It's 20 days divided by, it's like $2.50 per lunch. I'm like, where else is she going but Taco Bell? And then were you getting the same 50?
Oh, no, I get 200. I'm the man. No, yeah, I got the same 50.
Okay, because the way I would work it, because I'm such an asshole, is I go, well, let's make it, you'll have 60 and I'll get 40. And then she wouldn't go over. Because
oh my God, I'm a dick. You would give her 60 and only take 40 because you didn't need it.
Right. Or I'd go 45, 55, and then she wouldn't be going over every week.
And then eventually you would have 15 and she would be 85.
Yeah, and she'd also be 400 pounds. I don't know. No, look, in any case, no, I'm not saying it was right. But what I did recognize in what you said for myself is that I've done things before where I'll go, like, yeah, I know you didn't, who to whatever one of the three of them I'm talking to, you didn't realize XYZ. But I just want you to now, you know, XYZ.
Yeah.
So next time, no XYZ.
No YZ.
For example, when I put the food in front of you, yeah, I don't want to hear those are cut the wrong direction or whatever it is. My thing is, don't complain. The only words come out of your mouth when I put food in front of you is, thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Now, you can sit there and go, oh, my God, this looks horrible. But the way that's going to emerge is, thanks, Dad. Like, yeah. Nice, bright, thanks, Dad. Well, you can think.
I want eyebrows up.
Yeah, exactly. a little float in your voice or a little uplift.
Feel free to gesticulate.
Yep. If you said, now, eat it or don't eat it, but don't complain about it.
Right.
And yet.
Nothing.
You know, no, eventually. But in the beginning, it was I was saying it nicely, and then eventually I was
just
screaming.
So when he says it's a little dry, he's doing it in a very polite way.
In that case, that was fine. He'd already eaten it.
Okay.
He'd already eaten it, and then he registered his
complaint. Because here's the thing. I get the idea that something has to be said. You know what I mean?
It's right. Like,
but, and I, maybe, here's the thing that I didn't think of till just now.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just a fucking horrible cook.
You know what I mean? Fuck you! Now, I will.
Now, based on your reaction, I'm going to say you're not.
No. Because I'm a decent cook. I'm sometimes inconsistent because I don't measure everything.
Okay.
It's more of an art than a science for me.
Oh, you're a barefoot Contessa.
Yes, exactly, in more horrible ways than one. And I will often solicit a review in the mid-meal. Hey, how'd that chicken turn out?
Right.
Because right now I remember what I did, but if you tell me 2 days ago I liked it, I may not know what I did. Tonight I made it a little different. I'm going to have to ask him.
See, I do that too, where I'll say, I go, you know, there are times when I barely got dinner on the table and the kids were freaking out. She had to work late and I'm at I'm at the end of my rope.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you could usually tell it's when I'm drinking for dinner. Your daddy's having a what I've now called a redneck highball. It's some bourbon and some ginger ale.
Oh, that's funny.
So I will be having that. And that's how the wife knows, like, all right, tread lightly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The kids still haven't figured it out yet. I think that when they're 10 and 7, that's when they'll know. But there are times too when I go, is it okay? And it's funny because of how many times I've lost my shit in my own dining room. They go, no, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's
good. Right.
No, it's good. It's good. It's really good. Like,
yeah.
I go, if you don't tell me, I can't make it right or better the next time.
Next time.
It's a little spicy. Or my wife, I can tell.
Butter.
Like, yeah, when she goes and gets sour cream to put on anything, it's because I put too much spice on it. Or, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
Or my wife, when I make the steak and then she trudges for the sauce, the steak sauce or whatever.
I don't get offended by that as much as I think I should, to be honest. Like, I make my own rub. I do, you know what I mean?
Listen, you don't want to get an explicit rating on this show, so
keep
your own rub to yourself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
We can't talk masturbation?
We can.
Because I will rub paprika on my cock. I treat it like a flaccid pork tenderloin.
Right.
And I get some brown sugar and some paprika. And you know what I do? I go celery salt because it's got a little bit more of a dynamic flavor than
absolutely.
Salt.
Well,
yes. Does it burn like hell? Of course.
Right.
But most things that are, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's not what I'm saying.
Matter.
Whatever. Hard work is what I'm trying to say. Always yields the best. I'm making up proverbs.
Yes, that's fine. You and Confucius. I don't have any idea where we were. Oh, you were talking about fights, and I interjected.
Yeah, that's all right.
So go to your third one.
Well, I'm going to go back to the burrito thing because the other thing, she used to say, well, that's not true. And I go, well, okay, let me give it to you from this angle. And this is the one that this is where I got lambasted with Chris Booker on the other podcast, episode 8, if anybody wants to go back and check it out, of Justin is Married and Booker is Single. But I said,
I was wandering around the other day, and just the phrase, Justin is Married and Booker is Single, popped into my head.
Really?
I felt like a mental patient. I was like,
what happened was I told her, I said, you understand that when we come up, we sit down and we create a budget together and we say we agree that is
a contract.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's trust. That's what I go, that is trust. And I use that word because a lot, it's the foundation of all relationships. Natalie and I are 100% honest with each other to a flaw, many would say.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, it's what we like. It's the way we like to live. And it works. That's why she could be married to this dickhead and I could be married to that dipshit. You see, I call myself a dickhead, too, to be fair.
I understand.
But anyway, so I said, when I say, you say I will only spend $50, okay? And then you go over, then I should be able to bang around on the road.
Oh, hang on. Yes, I've heard you say this before, and I feel like there's a little bit of a disproportionate of the,
Listen, it's how I butter my bread. It's the direction I cut my chicken.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Not here. I know that it may sound like I'm joking, but for the sake of the conversation here,
yes.
I am not joking.
I understand. That's what scares me.
I am 100%. But like, now I'm not honestly I'm not waiting, checking the register. She gone over.
Yeah.
Because the reality of me having sex
across the street to borrow a cup of sugar.
Adam, when is your wife off?
No, not me.
Oh, what? What's
up? The Bahones.
Oh, the Bahones.
Something
crazy.
That fucker's
always there. No. Poor Naomi. That's unfair. She doesn't listen. Anyway. But no, then it's not like I'm sitting there waiting because, there's two things.
That guy would crush you, but he looks like he would kill you.
Oh, George?
Yeah, I think
so.
No,
he's a nice guy.
All right.
He's had the lap band, I think. I don't know. Anyway, oversharing. And, but my point is that I would, I couldn't get late on the road even if I wanted to. But what I'm trying to do with this example is that I do believe it is the same, is that I'm trying to up the ante for her. Because clearly the stakes are not heightened to a level where she's understanding my feelings on this matter.
I got you.
So I'm trying to find a way of relating it back to like, this is how you would feel if you found out I was just the tip deep in some cocktail waitress in San Antonio, Texas, or Dayton, Ohio, which, by the way, I will be next week.
For all you cocktail waitresses.
Yeah, daddy's coming to town. Ohio.
Okay. I understand. No. I'm going back to saying I now understand why you're using that.
Right.
What I think is an outrageous comparison.
Right.
Because you're exaggerating it so that it will connect with her.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And then I'll end with this one. This is the one that Natalie said. And,
yes, please.
If you want to, if you please remember, please. You know, not a fan of this conversation. The artichokes is what she called this. Now,
okay.
Natalie and I told her.
I like it already.
Yeah. I told her at one point, and I think I've also documented this fight on the podcast too, but that it's sad how I say everything wrong with my marriage on this show to live forever.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. But that I told her, I said, you know, it bothers me when I tell you that we're having a tight month. And then I'm trying to cook dinner and wrangle the kids. And then when you're on your way home, I realize we need some salsa or I need a loaf of bread to make the kids' lunches. And you go and then you come back having been grocery shopping. And again, it's what I think homemakers feel. I'm tired of calling myself a woman because I think that really what's going on is that I'm a homemaker and my wife is not. Not that she is incapable, but she just isn't. And so it's a frustration that we as homemakers have in that I go, hey, I just need you to get bread. And then you come back with bread, bananas, and some cans of chili and four artichokes some mayonnaise for the artichokes and milk. And what frustrates me is that maybe two of the items are things that we actually needed, but the rest is stuff that you're guessing because it's not like she keeps an inventory.
It's not like you even eat artichokes. She's just randomly pulling things off shelves.
No, we do eat
artichokes.
Okay. We do eat artichokes, but it'd be really awesome if she didn't, to prove my point.
Right.
I would be fucking a waitress next weekend if we didn't eat artichokes. But so she comes back. I said, so honey. Yeah.
My wife doesn't understand me. She gets artichokes.
Yeah. What's that?
Right.
I need you to take your clothes off because my wife is getting artichokes. I'd be the edgiest comedian in the world. I told her, I said, babe, I said, so do me a favor, because when you're doing, this is what I always do with every fight. I explain why I'm feeling what I'm feeling.
Yes.
Not so she could just go, yes, but so she could go, that's crazy to me. Or, oh, now I get it. Okay.
Right. And are you doing it in the tone of the reasonable tone of voice you're using here? Or is there possibly a little more drama going on?
It depends.
Here's what I need you to do. Here's what I need you to do. Where are you in
On this given fight, I was more the latter than the former.
Okay,
but most of the time, here's what I do. When it happens, I feel it. I've gotten much better after therapy.
Yeah.
I've gotten to where I go, okay, honey, I know that. This is where I'm not good. My word choices are horrible, but I am in a calm tone.
Yes.
I am not. I am laying down, but I'm saying you are a fucking moron. You understand? Like, I'm laying down looking up at them.
Right, right.
And my tone of voice is good, but the words coming out, it fucks with their animal brain.
Yes.
But I said to her, I said, I know that you think that you're helping when you're getting all these other things.
Yes.
Because you're going to the grocery store and you're going, well, I'm going
to
help.
You're trying to head off trouble at the pass.
Bang out these other things so that he doesn't have to come back. Because the joke is I go to the grocery store at least twice a week.
Oh, please.
So she, I said, and that's the therapist told me that what I was doing wrong is he goes, you don't want to open with labeling her feelings. So I stopped going to that dickhead a long time ago.
Yeah.
No. So anyway, so I said, but you, when you come back and I need one thing and the kids are throwing fits and I'm trying to keep dinner warm so that we can all have a nice meal. Like I put a lot of care into this and planning and effort goes into it. And then you come in with like eight things. To me, every one of those eight things adds 5 minutes or 2 minutes.
I was just going to say
that. You could have been
here.
You
had calculated 10 minutes and she added at least 7 more minutes to
the ordeal. Right, which she's not aware, but what's happening is that's fucking up the timing of all the food. It's making me angry at myself that I didn't notice it and didn't already have it myself.
Right.
Then, you know, it's just, it's bad. It's bad juju all around.
Yes.
So I said to her, so I say all this and then she's like, got it. And 2 weeks later is when the artichoke incident happened. I said, babe, could you get me, I think it was sour cream is what I asked for. And this is a slight paraphrase of what she got, but not the length is correct. She got the sour cream.
Yeah.
She got 3 artichokes, mayonnaise, which we did not need. She got 2 cans of chili. She got a package of dried mangoes. She got... what was it? There was another thing that was like random. I think she got some cleaning stuff, like a bottle of cleaning stuff of some kind. And some red peppers also from the produce section. And I knew I was going to lose my shit as soon as I saw. She walked in with 4 grocery bags. And I'm like, I'm going to lose my damn mind. And so she says, I take a breath. And then I let dinner happen. And then after dinner, I go in there and I say, I need to say something to you so that I don't lose my mind. I said, but it's not going to be good. And so she's like, okay. So she, I open the pantry. And the pantry is just filled with shit. Like, you know when your pantry gets that way where it's not organized the way I like it. And, you know, I like to have the rice in a section and, you know, to where you always know what's – it's easy to see what you have and what you don't have and blah, blah, blah. And I do first in, first out because I'm fucking anal. And so she – you know, I look – I go, what is that? When I see that, what do I see? She goes, a mess. I go, beyond a mess, what do I see? And then she hit the nail on the head. She goes, my parents' pantry. I said, bingo.
Oh,
and I opened the fridge and I said, when I look at this fridge, what do I see? And she goes, my parents' fridge. I said, yes. And I shut the door, making eye contact with her. I go, did I not fucking tell you we were on a tight month? And then she goes, well, I go, no. Did I not fucking tell you we were on a tight month? And she goes, yes, you did. I said, 2 weeks ago. Did I not fucking tell you that I don't like sending you to the grocery store for one item because you come back with 4 grocery bags? She goes, but I go, did I not fucking tell you? And she goes, yes, you did. And I said, what did you do today? She goes, I came home with a bunch of stuff. Then tell me why. Why do I have fucking artichokes in here that are going to rot before I can work them into the menu that I've had planned for the next 3 days? Why are those there? She goes, because we like to eat them. I said, you wanted to eat them. And instead of telling me what, like, hey, let's get some artichokes in the menu, in the mix, you just go and fucking bananas and get artichokes and chili. And that's what you just did. And then she's like, I'm sorry. I go, am I a dick? Am I being, this is my favorite part of the fight. Am I being an abusive husband right now? Because I'm screaming at the top of my lungs in the kitchen. By the way, we had just moved here. We had just moved into the house. So poor fucking Ed next door.
My God.
Oh, shit. We got some white trash here next door.
Right.
And then she goes,
no. You just hear the word artichoke floating through.
And I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, thank you. And I am sorry, but this fucking makes me livid. Okay?
Right.
I said, I don't hate you. I love you. I go, I am angry because I love you, and I don't know why. So that was the artichoke fight. That's what we...
That's funny. I got to say a couple things here. My head is spinning.
Okay.
First of all, in the middle of the whole thing, she went bananas with artichokes was the phrase you used, which I just think is a funny choice of words to pull with the word banana.
I'm very funny.
You are a funny guy. I want to tell the listeners that I was joking before about, were you using that rational tone of voice? Or were you being hysterical? And I can tell you I honestly believe that he was recreating pitch perfect,
tonally
what it was.
Yeah.
It got scary in here, people. Very lucky that you weren't. I started feeling very uncomfortable. I was like, oh my God, my parents are divorcing. It's my fault, you know. I had a knob flashback.
I'm sorry.
From that fight. No, I'm going to need to put on an extra session this week with my therapist.
Talk about my fight with my wife.
Talk about your fight with your wife and how uncomfortable it made me. That was what I was going to say. That was just a... Wow.
I apologize.
No, that's
okay. Feel comfortable.
That's all right. I hope everyone found it funny. hopefully my stupid fights will be able to we'll be able to ease some of the tension that's built up in this.
What if it just shut you down and you're just like, she asked me to open the car for her, and that was one. And I told her to stop eating out of my popcorn at the movie theater. That was two. And that's it. Oh,
can you imagine?
Can I go and hug my wife real quick? I just want to tell you I'm sorry about everything I said about Rice-A-Roni earlier. Right. I want to just go home and look at her and say, I will cook anything you want.
No, what I think is she should listen to this and she should come apologize to me.
That's what I just what I said. Right. You want to run and drag her by the arm over here.
I see. Gotcha.
Tell her what you told me.
Right.
Tell her what you told me.
Right.
So everybody go home, hug your loved one, because you're not married
sure
to me.
That Luna has been in a supermarket in 15 years, so it really isn't likely to happen. All right, now, I don't really, there's certainly not going to be anything as elaborate or as exciting as that, but we have a lot of stupid arguments, she and I. Mm-hmm. And some of them come down to just sort of communication. Well, one of the stupidest is that we have an argument between whether something is green or it's blue. And that's been going on for 20 years.
That's great.
Yeah. No, that's blue. No, it's green. I'm like, it's obviously blue. And then she'll show me something that's blue and she'll go, is that blue? And I'll go, yeah. And then she'll say, so is that? I'm like, no, they're two different colors.
For the record, that's exactly what I wanted this episode to be. So, but the problem is I don't have anything like that.
Right. Yes, you're a nightmare to live with. That's what the problem is. You called her a dipshit, and she'd have to be to get roped into a life with you.
Right? That's what I tell her. This was your idea.
Right. Oh, that poor girl. Okay, so that was one. And then
I'm going to do that next week. We found this will change everything around so everybody knows I'm not a complete asshole. But we found the old pictures that we from when we met in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And I wrote on the back of the senior photo I gave her, very nice message that was very romantic.
I'm sorry, you wrote it at the time or you wrote it when you found the picture a couple of days ago?
No, I wrote it at the time.
I know, I'm joking.
Since become severely jaded.
Let me seem like I'm not a dick. I'm going to write something nice and put a date on it. Who knows when you wrote it?
Listen, that's not a bad idea. I'm going to start doing that. I got to go in the garage when she's at work.
Pull them out, right.
Honey, look what I wrote.
Yeah.
What's that? My handwriting has gotten worse? What?
I'm trying to think. It goes on all the time, so it's hard to, like, it's not going to be like, oh, there was a specific but just the kind of thing. Here's an example of it, is that she's going to get so mad. Luna's going to get so mad. But this is...
Do you want to debate? We have a call. We can.
Oh, no, by all means. Let's talk to a caller. I don't want to lose a caller. How long have they been listening to this mess?
3 minutes.
Oh, dear Lord.
All right, caller, you're on. I don't know if you're calling just to blow sunshine up our ass. And they're gone.
That's so sad.
What if it was Antonio? Oh, it says I can call him back.
Yeah, do it. Do it, man.
Let's see how that works out.
I wonder if they got nervous, not nervous feet, cold feet.
Just scared feet.
Well, because it seemed like they hung up as soon as you said, let's go to the
calling.
Caller.
But I don't hear any ringing. I don't know how the, I've never done this before.
I know this is going to be a mess.
It's just ringing for 20 seconds. Well, I'll just let it sit there and ring. All right.
Oh, my God.
Tell us about how you're going to get divorced now.
Well, you keep an eye on that.
Yes, sir.
I would not nearly have talked as long if I'd known somebody was waiting. Anyway.
I didn't notice. I've been checking. Oh, hello?
Oh. It's an outgoing.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, asshole, it's Justin and Paco from the Dad Podcast. I'm here bearing my soul talking about how I'm screaming and cursing at my wife about artichokes, and then you call in to bail me out, and then you hang up.
Call us back.
And then I call you back, and this is what happens. And don't be putting this shit out there for TMZ. I'm a celebrity, oh, and I don't need shoot. You ruining it. All right, bye.
Call back. that's funny. So this is the kind of thing that goes on, which is that well, there's a couple of them. She is, and to her credit, she's put up with our messiness a lot. There's three guys over there. I'm not especially a well-organized person, and I don't mind having some level of organization, but eventually there's just a drawer I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff in.
I would fucking kill you.
In every room. So in any case, so she will put stuff away. But she will sometimes decide a new place to put stuff away. And then she will not tell anybody else where that new place is. So there have been no few times that I have turned the house upside down looking for something. And then it turns out it was put away. So first of all, her attitude is, you fucking leave everything out. And it's your fault I put it away. Because if you just put it away yourself, you'd know where it was. Now, she doesn't quite put it that way, but this is how I'm hearing it.
Yes.
That's number one. And number two is, why didn't you just look there? It makes perfect sense what I did. Perfect sense to you, Luna, but not to the person who doesn't know where it is. So that's an example of the kind of thing that goes on. And then the opposite of that is that she'll leave something out. And so then she'll say later, for example, most recently there was a check. And she said, it's been sitting there. Why didn't you put it in the bank? I told you to put it in the bank. And I said, you never told me to deposit that check. I didn't realize it was sitting there. She goes, well, why do you think it was sitting there? And so she takes the fact that she left it out as a statement, go put this in the bank. But it is not a statement. It's just something that's been left out. So I don't know that it's there for me. So it's this combination of either way, it involves her not giving information to me to let me in on what was expected or intended or what the next step would be.
Here's why this was kind of the first idea I had when wanting to have a topic for our call-ins is because I genuinely love this idea. I love hearing other married people and what they fight about.
Yeah.
Because in this example, what I think is so funny is that I could easily see myself wrapping my mind around what your wife is saying, and I'm tired
of that. Fuck you.
I'm tired of that in my life, to be honest. Like it's like, because if you really look at it, if you yes. go, well, what? And I'm only, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be confrontational with you. I'm right. only saying it because I've given her a lot of shit on this show.
Right, right, right. I understand.
And that, and it's, oh, good. Yeah, we got our caller back. So, but here, I'll bring the caller in while I'm finishing up
finish
this sentence.
Thought, is that so we don't lose this.
I just want her to know. I just think, well, why else would a check be sitting there is what I would say.
Oh, like, my God. You are welcome to her. You guys can have each other. I am out. This is the final episode. Paco is out.
Well, tune in next week to Paco Lancini's Single Dad Podcast. And the URL is available. And then this show will be ending, and it will be called the Sister Wives Podcast. We're probably going to get a cease and desist from TLC within the first few months, but I'll come up with a new title before then.
There you go.
All right, caller. Did you get our voicemail?
Yeah, I got your voicemail.
Who is this?
This is Sam.
Hello, Sam. Have we talked before, Sam?
I think on Facebook we have.
Oh, okay. All right.
Welcome to the show, Sam.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Were you calling in because you saw the topic and you wanted to share some dumb fights that you've had with your significant other, if you would?
No, it said call this number, so I called it.
I love
it. All right, Sam. Realize that what's about to happen over the next 30 seconds is 99% in jest. But So you just saw a number and you said, I'll call it. And then when something happened, you decided to fucking hang up?
No, no. And he called back to his credit.
Let him answer the question.
I had to go lock my car. Sorry.
Oh, you had to lock your car, but you can't talk on the phone and lock your car? Does your phone lock your car, Sam? Do I sound like your wife, Sam? Am I sounding like your wife right
now? No. No, not really.
Not really? Sam, are you married?
No, I'm single.
Are you single? Sam, do you have kids?
I'm a teen.
You're a teenager?
Justin, yeah.
Oh, now I'm a dick.
Well, listen, I was trying to talk you off of it, man, but you would just not stop.
You knew he was a teenager?
I had a feeling you should shut up.
You always have that feeling.
Well,
we have a segment on the show devoted to you having that
signal.
Yeah, it's true. We need to.
All right. So what are you calling for, Sam? I'm thrilled that you're a teenager.
He told us he saw a number.
No, but beyond that, he was like, he had an impulse.
He had an impulse. What did you want to talk about, Sam?
I don't know. Just call in saying I love your show.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. That's awesome. Now,
do you listen to the Dad Podcast regularly?
I do.
Why do you listen?
That's just something to listen to while I work out sometimes.
Nice. Wait, Sam, do you live in England?
No, I live in Wisconsin.
All right.
Hey, I spent some of my formative years in Madison, Wisconsin. Where about are you?
Down in Oshkosh.
You know what? My mother's from Oshkosh.
You guys want to exchange numbers so you can have this
well,
conversation?
I have his number. I'm sorry. Look, I lived there. What do you want from me? I'll stop with the Wisconsin talk. I'm sorry.
All right, Sam. Well, let's spend a little bit more time with you because I want to dig deep into the mind of a teenager.
Have you been up to the Dells lately?
Oh, Jesus, you and your Wisconsin.
No.
That's the only thing I can remember.
Do me a favor. Mail Paco some fireworks. That's step one. Sam, well, we're talking. The reason I should have put it in there. What you're pointing out is the weakness in my social media communication skills in that I just said, please call. We're taking calls now. But I'd already established that we were trying to find dumb fights that you've had with your spouse on the show. So let me put this out there to see if you have heard any fights that, in your opinion, are dumb with that your parents had.
I've had one before, actually.
Oh, you've had one with like a girlfriend? Sam.
I like the way he says, yeah.
So, we were rollerblading, and I was going down the sidewalk, and I looked back just for a second. I tripped over the curb. She started yelling about me at how I was clumsy for looking back and trying to make sure she was safe.
Oh, Sam, you're not with this girl still, are you, right?
No.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's right. That's what's nice about
pushed her into traffic.
She's making past the rollerblading trip,
right? Well, I certainly think. Listen, I identify with the looking back to make sure everything's all right.
Right.
You know, Montecore does that, by the way.
The doc?
Yeah. Well, look, if you fall behind the group, Montecore is always looking back over her shoulder to make sure that you're back.
That you're still there.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's a great impulse, and I thought she would say she broke out laughing or something, but she was just more.
It was more anger that I
more
that
of
I
a bitch.
How long after this moment did you guys break up?
I think a month.
And was this your idea or hers?
Mine.
Yeah. Are you lying, Sam? Don't lie.
Nah.
Sam, we can hear through the phone when you're lying.
Are you working out now?
Sam, do you need a virtual hug right now because you're still sad over this breakup? How long ago did this breakup happen?
Like a year.
A year ago? So you're still pretty torn up about it?
No.
Sam, I can hear it in your voice, Sam. Sam, be honest.
I'm sorry.
He dumped that bitch.
I'm so sad.
There you go, Sam. Just let it all out. Let it all out.
Virtual hugs. And have you moved on to some other fine, lovely thing? Or are you...
There's no way for two grown men. This is what we're finding out, Sam. There is no way for two grown men to talk about you having a relationship with a teenage girl without it sounding super creepy. You understand? So what do, Sam? You show her your learner's permit? And then you're like, baby, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get into this 1987 Fiero and let's just see what happens. because we're going to go share a malt together because it's 1956.
Yeah, that's how things work. You share a malt, you get in a car, you have some fun, you know.
Have some fun. What do you mean? You know, easy, Sam. What are you doing, Sam? You don't want to end up. You don't want to end up being another kind of listener on this show.
I think that Dr. J has had a bad influence on this. Yeah.
No.
No, he likes Dr. J. Oh, that's awesome. All right, Sam. Well, we're gonna move on, but thank you so much for calling. You doing good? You happy though?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
check back in with us.
Yeah. Feel free to call in anytime. Because I like the idea of you just calling whenever something tells you to do it.
Yes. And thanks for calling back, man.
All right. Talk to you later.
See you, Paco.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
See you, Paco. Oh, that's awesome. All right.
So apparently you're popular with some very young people, too. This is interesting. The demographics.
Yeah, we have
Antonio. You know what? We should have asked him about... the Fifth Element. Oh, I had him on the phone. Call him back. Hey, Sam, write us whether
yeah,
or not you
send
like
us
the
an
Fifth
email
Element.
With Fifth Element.
Oh, he's gonna like it. It's got a woman wearing a Band-Aid for a top, you know.
The what was I gonna say? Let's move on. That's great. The other thing,
I think we were done with fights, and I think that was our big
here's what we've learned so far. I am an asshole,
right.
And you have a normal marriage. And yes, Paco.
I did have a tag up on it, though, just to finish it off. You know, you're talking about how she goes over a little bit. She gets the burrito supreme. And then that, you know, that's you're saying you were equivalating to make up a word. You were saying that her burrito supreme is the same thing as you're getting some road tail.
Yes.
Right? Well, I figured out how you can do this. And make it tit for tat so that you don't have to feel like you're overreacting when you actually nail the cocktail waitress in Ohio.
Okay.
Let's just assume for the moment that cocktail waitress is of Latin American descent.
Ooh, okay.
You can call her a burrito supreme. And then you can just say, yeah, look, you had yours. I got my burrito supreme. And there you go.
You know what's funny is I saw you write down burrito supreme. And I was like, what's he going to talk about a burrito supreme for? That's worth it. That was awesome.
There you go.
All right. So the other thing, Tom, listener Tom, who many of you know is the guy who sent the amazing letter to me and the Naptime Radio Lady, sent me a link to a fantastic commercial in my opinion. It's the new Peanut Butter Cheerios presents How to Dad. And as far as I could tell, it is only an online commercial. What I do know from being a little bit in the commercial biz myself as an actor is that a lot of times what they'll do is they'll start off a campaign online to see how it is, what the response is, and then that will decide whether or not
they
invest money into putting it full blown on television. Like the reason I know this is my old co-host Bill, the Coke Zero spots where they would do those improvised, they would bring people in, lawyers in, and say, we want to sue Coke Zero for stealing Coca-Cola's taste. And the lawyers would be like, wait, you guys work for Coca-Cola? They'd be like, yeah, that's what we want to do. And so they would push these lawyers into saying crazy things and all that
right,
stuff.
Right.
That started off as just an online campaign. And then because it was so well received online, they put it on television. And
gotcha. The way Disney will make a movie that's supposed to be for video, and then it actually turns out not
planes.
To be a turd. Yeah, right. And they go, yeah, let's cash in
on
that.
And then they said, we don't have anything this summer, so let's make planes too. So here it is. We'll let you take a listen, but it's worth a Google, and I will put a link of it on the Facebook page as well.
Oh! You awake?
Yeah, of course I'm awake. Is that a new mask?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It's really creepy.
Kid's wearing a horse head mask.
Thanks.
Hey, let me introduce myself. My name is, and proud of it, and all dads should be. You know why. Kids think we're awesome. We get our hands messy. We tell hilarious jokes. Hey, Nolan, we gotta get up, buddy.
Wake up, big lazy.
We never say no to dress up. We build the best forts. We do work, and we do homework. We lead by example. We blow their minds.
Can't believe he's his father.
I know. That is called a plot twist. Being awesome isn't about breaking rules. It's about making them. Hot stuff coming through. Wife and the coffee. And breakfast is for breakfast. Hey, Nolan, give me a look here. Suggestion, that's a boy, that's a man. But it's also for lunch, dinner, and midnight snacks. Scraped knees aren't boo-boos. They are badges of bravery on the playground. Hey, Victoria, that profile pic, awesome. When you're a dad, hugs can be bear hugs, but they can also be high fives, fist bumps, and next level handshakes. Kids, they're our best friends. They're our greatest fans. Buddy, you've been gaining muscle mass. Nice. And they look to us like the same way we look at superheroes. Up, because we're taller. Now, dadhood isn't always easy. When a rule is broken, we're the enforcement. Hey, buddy, it's garbage day. But when a heart is broken, we're the reinforcement. And we wouldn't have it any other way. Because being a dad is awesome. Just like new peanut butter Cheerios are awesome. That's why it's the official cereal of dadhood. And this, this, my friends, you know you got it together, baby, now. This is how to dad.
So I think this is really interesting, and I think the reason Tom sent it to me is that up until this point, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Mr. Paco, but that up until this point, a dad's role in media and marketing and commercials has been one of the oaf. And yet now we're seeing this, in my opinion, this is a turning or changing of the guard, if like, because we have and these companies are realizing that more and more dads are becoming the caregivers and the stay at home, the homemakers as well.
Yeah.
So there's a market that we can grab here and go after it. And so they do this commercial to where they're trying to resonate with all of us, primarily, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but stay at home dads. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where it's driving, because if you look at the commercial, and again, it'll be at the Facebook page, but it looks like every mom I've ever seen on every other commercial, where it's like, oh, we're juggling so many things and we've got it going on, and oh, it's, you know, but look at us and we make it look easy.
I think it's even better than that, though.
Oh, it is better because, but I think it's for two things. I think it's better because it's made for us, honestly. I mean, yes. I think I'm fully drinking the Kool-Aid on this. There's only one little thing, and I find it interesting, that makes me go, eh, when they said we're their best friends. That's the thing. I'm like, no.
Well, I'm sure you can't claim that.
No, I can't. But other than that, it's like, okay, I get it. And I liked it. What I really, truly liked about it is that I do think that they did a very good job of kind of grabbing other than the best friend thing, I think they did a solid job of grabbing the essence of what it is to be a father today. Mm-hmm. That there is this vibe that a dad will spin, like the times before would be moms kiss boo-boos,
right.
Dads make them into something cool. You know what I mean? And so I like that. I think it's a good idea. And it's cool because the last time I talked about something that was marketed where dads were mentioned was the Huggies thing that they did a while ago.
I probably missed it.
It was only an online thing, if I'm not mistaken.
I definitely missed it then.
And they said what they were, Joseph Baer sent it to me, and he said that it was funny because what they were essentially saying that we make diapers so good, they can stand the test of 12 hours with dad. And what I thought was interesting about this, there was this huge uproar from stay-at-home dads and a lot of moms that were like, that's the thing. I go, you know what's interesting is that I really think, myself included, I'm not offended by it. I just look at it and go, go fuck yourself. That's why I buy Pampers, asshole.
Right.
But maybe that means I'm offended. I don't know. But anyway.
Right.
But now this, again, not to take a third lap around, but I like the energy. I like the tone. I like the motion.
It's a terrific spot. Mm-hmm. I really liked it a lot. You showed it to me just before we went on.
Interesting enough, if you scroll down here, director, Luc Besson. I did not see that, which explains the mom.
Oh, my God. Well, it did get
Band-Aids.
A little muddy about two-thirds of the way through, I got to tell you.
Sorry.
No, that's very funny. You fucker. All right. That was for Michelle and Catherine.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was terrific. I liked the guy's energy. I liked sort of the plainness of his look. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that you related, like I related to the parts where he was more of a girly girl with the kids, like the feelings and the best friend, and you related more to the he gets stuff done because you're much more of a get stuff done father.
Yeah.
Believe me, I look out. I see you with the door to your garage open, showing off your workshop to the neighborhood. I know what's going on over here. I'm doing stuff. That's the message you give.
That's all. To be honest, that was my other criticism is that, you know, granted, it's already a 2-minute commercial. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Right.
But then I'm sitting there, I'm like, why isn't he cutting something? Like, fucker doesn't have a power tool in his hand at all. Like, ever, you know? But I also just for the sake, since it's kind of what we're talking about, what I really like too is the idea of when he says that, you know, hot stuff coming through and he poured a cup of coffee for his wife. I just, again, I make my wife a cup of coffee every morning for, and I give it to her in a travel mug, and she walks out.
Yeah.
And what I find crazy, as we've joked about your wife not knowing, like, how does this work to open a banana?
Right.
That my wife, when she's trying to
keep
make.
Bringing that up, don't you?
What? Listen.
Go on.
Listen. Come on.
All right.
Come on.
That was my fault. I should have kept it to myself.
You don't think I'm going to deal with 3 months of artichoke talk?
Well, that's true.
We each have our produce.
Yeah, but it's worth it for you. Look who you're married to.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Just digging the hole deeper.
I think that just went over my head. I don't understand.
That's all right.
But anyway, is that I make, and if she tries to make her own coffee, she can't. Like, it's, it doesn't all come out as good to her.
Right.
And I like to think because I dip my pinky in it.
Ah, that's
a little
very
more sweetness.
Funny. I just, on the coffee subject, I'm allowed to make her the coffee. It's obvious that I don't make it as well as she does for herself in this particular instance. But I am not allowed to add the milk. Because it won't be the right color, and I'll do it at the wrong time, so it'll be too cold by the time she gets to it and whatever else. So there's a lot of rules at my house.
It's like you're living with three Rain Men.
She does it. She pours it till she gets the right color, and then she knows that it's the right amount of milk.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes, I liked it. I don't think it's just for stay-at-home dads. I think that Doreen would like it.
Mm.
And Luna. Behind the curtain. And so... I'm tired. You can tell. End of the day. I'm end of a week.
Wrap it up. Circle the wagons. Moment of the week. Here it comes.
So,
no, I'm kidding.
All right. Thank you. I got a long list of stuff here. No, I lost where I was.
You were saying that you think that the ladies would also like.
Oh,
it
yeah,
well.
Yeah. I think if you recognize your husband in that, you like it. Mm-hmm. And I say, even if you don't recognize your husband in it, you might like it. It's not your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your version of life. But so that guy is very likable, and the story he's telling is likable.
So for the people who, like, for the sake of exaggerated example, a stay-at-home single mom, right?
Yeah.
Is going to look at it, maybe find ways that she does that and connect to him that way.
Right.
Or maybe she goes, man, I wish I could get a guy like that. It becomes almost a fantasy for
absolutely.
Her.
I think it's a win-win all the way around. Mm-hmm. The only part of it that I have trouble really embracing or coming to terms with is the fact that Cheerios needs to have a commercial at all. Those fuckers are just everywhere all the time.
In their defense, these are peanut butter Cheerios. It's not Honey Nut.
I've already bought them.
Right.
I already bought all the. I bought the protein Cheerios with the Honey Nut for Diego over there.
You purchased peanut butter Cheerios? I didn't even know they were there.
I've
only partaken in Honey Nut, Frosted, and regular.
I think I have purchased them some time ago. I was a little surprised to see this. But I just, in general, feel like things like Cheerios and even Coca-Cola. Who the fuck needs to advertise Coca-Cola? It's the single most recognizable symbol in the world.
Because it's so heavily advertised. But we can't get into too much media theory on this.
Well.
Luc Besson would be upset. But I do
agree.
Every time
you say his name, it sounds it's like a Juan Bedoya, Badunkadoya thing.
Is
it sounds? It sounds like you're saying it differently every time. It doesn't
matter.
I'm enjoying it. Yes.
Luc Besson. Is that correct?
Yeah, right.
I think, but also
take
what
a shot every time.
I think
he mispronounces
Luc Besson.
Right. There you go.
I think that that what they are kind of really doing too is that they're advertising. There's, in my opinion, stay-at-home dads, and that's what, because I find it very interesting. You don't really see in a 2 minute spot.
Yeah.
You see that product for maybe 20 seconds.
Oh no, it's a balls out commercial because it's so much about the family,
the lifestyle, and
lifestyle
everything,
and identifying with all of this stuff.
Because I feel like it's a hook. They're hooking you in. Like, see, we get you, and then boom, get some. Fucking peanut butter.
I'm not even sure you see that box early on.
You don't.
I feel like you
not
see
until
a flash
he mentions
of
the
yellow.
Word breakfast. Until he says breakfast, and when he grabs it when he's talking about his kid. That's another moment that I really like, where it's like I feel like that would be something I would tell my son, where his son is wearing a hat like off to the side.
Oh
like
yeah,
he's
yeah,
a hip-hop mogul,
right?
And he says, "This is a boy," and he puts it to the side. "This is a man," and puts it on straight.
Puts it on straight.
And then of course the fucking teenage kids in the commercial puts it on straight, where every other teenager would go,
right.
"Fuck you,
fuck
old man,
you, old man." Exactly. I want to be a boy. I don't want to be you.
Yeah.
But even then, it's not like it's a beauty shot. It's just a piece of a corner of a yellow box.
Yeah.
It isn't until you get to the end that you even see the whole box. And then I don't think it's their yellow box. I think it's kind of off
yellow.
Yeah,
it's a little different. It looks like a Honey Nut Cheerio box with a little bit more yellow in it. Right. What was the other? There was another part that I was like, eh. When he said, I thought it was interesting when he said, we're superheroes. They look up to it because we're superheroes and we're taller than them or something mm-hmm. like that. Where they're superheroes and they look up to us because we're taller than them. As if to say, listen, we're not better than them, but I know we're better than them. That's the other part that I have.
And you liked it or you didn't like it?
Here's the thing. I guess what I'm trying to say is I am not a fan of the blowing of the sunshine up the ass approach to parenting. Like,
right.
Here's what I like. I'm not like a 1940s dad where I'm a dick and I don't tell you I love you until I'm dying. And then we have this heartfelt moment. You know, right. I kiss the shit out of my kids. I hug them.
Right, right.
Tonight before I came out here, Natalie did something very cute where she, because she thought I didn't give the kids a kiss goodnight, so she made me do a second lap. So I go back in there and she goes, real quick, what's your favorite thing about Dad? And it was very cute because Jack said, he gives me lunch. And then Jacob, my emotional heartfelt, who I truly believe will be me when he grows up. He will be
the poor kid,
poor dickhead version of me because he's super anal, but he's very emotionally aware of things. Uh-huh. And He goes, what's your favorite thing? He goes, he loves me so much or whatever. So clearly it's getting there enough to where he's afraid to not say it.
I was going to say that, but you stole it. Nice. Nice. Well, you knew what the setup was, so you got there first.
This isn't my first rodeo.
I understand.
I think it's a cool spot. I look forward to more stuff about that, and I look forward to being a dickhead and buying Swiffers when they pick up this idea, and I hope it takes off. In all honesty, this is going to sound like a dickhead thing to say to the listener, and I don't mean it that way at all, and I apologize for it in advance.
You can't help it.
But that there isn't enough of a sense of community amongst dads, I think. I think when guys get together that they can be and that it works, but it's like dads don't spontaneously create dad groups. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's not within our thing. We'll have a group of buddies, but like I don't know if it was the same for you, but when your kids were born, did you have other guys that were the same age that were also having kids?
Well, no, none of my friends were anyway.
Right. And that's the same thing.
And I went
to
Mommy and Me, and I hung out with them for a while.
Exactly.
And then we all graduated from that into this, you know, informal group that eventually I went, oh, I'm tired of these bitches. And I drifted off with keeping one connection with only one of them.
Yeah.
One of them lives next to my father, never talked to her, ignore her completely. And the other one has moved back to Massachusetts, but we adore them and see them whenever
you go back east or
whatever. Yeah, when they come out here.
Yeah. But that's what I mean, and that's what I've realized in this show, like, that and maybe it's my own fault or whatever, but it's not. Dads will listen, and they'll enjoy, and they'll like, and if they get moved, so that's why I joke, but it's like when I get an email from somebody, I'm like, that must have been something that was pretty significant to push them. Not that it's, like, life-changing or any of that shit, but that, you know what I mean? It was something that made them go, I got to do this. We're normally guys, when we hang out, we're like, oh, yeah, all right, mm-hmm. Cool, I get it.
Right.
So, yeah, I like it. Thanks, Tom,
for
sending that in. And there's a link on the Facebook page where you can check this out, man.
And I'm sure you can hashtag how to dad and find it.
Yeah, look through that. It really is smart. I want to do some quick emails, and then we will wrap this bitch up.
All right.
I talked about it last week. This is from listener Chad, who provided this fantastic drop here.
Yeah.
So many years ago, he left a phone message for us where he was talking about how his wife was putting together his kid, like one of his toddler's birthday parties. Like,
yeah,
this is fucking bananas, how much it's costing me. And he just let out a, yeah. So me and Bill got a solid kick out of that.
That's awesome.
He said, you may remember me from a couple years ago, the guy that called the voice. Oh, there, he says what I just said. First, let me state your views about having more than two kids is entirely correct. He says, having more than two kids with only two adults in the house is a very, very bad idea. Yes, I now speak from experience. My oldest now is almost four. Her brother is 2 years old, and the smallest is 7 months old.
Dear Lord.
Chaos is a world that has come to be pretty standard in my vocabulary now. Even now, at breakfast, as I write this, the oldest is going up to the bathroom, the middle one has spilled his cereal, and the youngest literally just threw his spoon at me and laughs. A couple of small observations for you.
Where's that commercial?
I know, right?
That'd be awesome.
You guys always forget to mention how incredibly persistent questions can become. My little girl will ask 50 times in the span of 3 breaths if she can have juice. I love that she talks, but there are days where I don't want to answer her yet again about why she can't have juice snacks right now. And I did. You know, it's funny that he mentions, I tried to make a joke about this, but what I thought was that I was the only one who felt this way, because in my opening of my stand-up, I used to say it's so nice to be around adults. You know, I had a joke where I'd say it's different. Here tonight, if somebody craps himself, it's because they've had too much fun, as opposed to at my house where it's just after lunch. That's it.
Right.
I go and I could look at you guys, and you guys are just going like, milk, 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 milk. And nobody ever laughed at that. And
right.
Maybe it's because they thought my
including
kids.
Including me.
Right. No, I'm saying.
And 2,000 people listening
but
online.
You know what? Chad is laughing right
That's
now.
True.
The middle one is still figuring out the talking, so he's cool as hell. He grunts at the fridge. I know he wants milk. He grunts at his shoes, wants to go to the park. It could just bolt. If I could just bolt his cereal bowl to the table, dude would be set. The youngest, well, he's pretty awesome, except for the whole shrieking thing, like a madman if he's hungry. Also, if you or any of your listeners have any advice on how to get my daughter to stop being a cat, that would be amazing.
Sounds more like he's got monkeys over there with the grunting and the shrieking, but whatever gets it done.
It's so funny how there's, like, this guy doesn't live anywhere near us. I can't remember where he lives, but that I had a manager of an apartment building that had a 7-year-old daughter that had ears, and she had bought her a tail and gave her a little bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, to me, that's the opposite of what you want to do, but because this chick was a little batshit crazy. Unless there's a parent out there who's done it, and it's like if you satiate, because I've heard that. If they have a curiosity, you're supposed to satiate it. Like if they want to splash in water,
right.
You just keep bringing them back.
You're supposed to say shit.
No, satiate it.
Satiate it. Yeah, that's all right. You're drunk. The redneck highball.
Yep. So
white trash highball.
That's what she. I don't think that's what she was doing. I think she was just bat nuts crazy and liked the idea, because she also had like a crazy thing with animals and loved us.
Yeah.
So if her kid was less human and more animal like, which I think honestly is what her kid was trying to do to get some attention.
Right.
But he said just coming home and hearing "Good morning, Daddy," meow, like some poor animal being put through a blender, it just gets old fast. But we're surviving well, and things are finally getting to a level of chaos I can start to listen again. Thanks for keeping this going, so I have something awesome to come back to, finally, a returning fan, Chad. Well, thank you, Chad, so much for taking that time.
Yes, and then, that was a nice one.
This is another one just to button it up because we're about to wrap it up. But Lori, who is called into the show, pointed out, I'm assuming she's done with some kind of backyard paver situation and now has moved on to putting in a stable for horses on her large plot of land. She says, Justin, I clicked through on the Amazon banner for your show. I just wanted to make sure it was active. I don't hear you mention it as a way to support the show. And I know I'm way late because it's back to school. But yeah, if you guys.
Dude.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that. I'm sitting across from you 6 months. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's all, if you go to the dadpodcast.com, there is a Amazon banner, or I think it's a logo that might. I could look at it. But anyway, it's on there. And you click through it, and whatever you buy, they give us a percentage of. And I think if you click through it once and bookmark it, then every time you click on your bookmark, it works.
Put some wind in the sails of our rowboat.
Yes, exactly. For anybody who's a Corolla fan, he makes a ton of money off of that.
Right.
And he says he calls it putting the wind in the sails of his pirate ship. But yeah, we are a little bit of a dinghy in more ways than one.
That's better.
Let's do.
Hang on, no. Before you do that, I got to stop you because I got to pick a flick.
Oh,
just because. Topically,
yes,
I want to get it in this week
because
I fucking went and did it last night, you douchebag. So I need to get to it today. Here was the thing, though. When I thought we might, this podcast was postponed. How is your son, by the way?
Very good.
Yeah, it was all just a mirage?
Not a mirage, but what Adam is talking about, for anybody who saw the Facebook page, we planned to record this a night prior, and then he got sick and was throwing up all night, and I could go into a little bit more detail later on.
No, we don't need to hear that. More details.
What? No, that's what they like hearing.
They hear that? All right.
They like we like getting the vulgar talk of in that sense. But I think he had like an allergic reaction to something, which caused him to get congested.
Oh, yeah.
And he has a very weak gag reflex and does not like the feeling of mucus. Like, I never have to worry about him picking his nose and eating it because the idea of it makes him gag. And so I think that's what happened. So at 11 o'clock at night, he said he wasn't feeling good and then yacked. And then I had to sleep in his bedroom because he didn't like the smell of it. And then he slept in my bed. And evidently my wife, I go, yeah, I'll just sleep in here. And he could sleep. She wanted him to sleep on the couch. This is what I love about my wife. She wanted the son to sleep on the couch. And I was like, this is not like you. What is going on? It's weird. I go, I'll just sleep on his bed and you could sleep and he'll sleep in bed with you. And she's like, fucking little cock blocker. I was like, wow, I guess I am the mom. Right. Jesus
That's
Christ.
Funny. But well, that was Pick a Flick for this week.
Thank you for your time. Moment of the week. But so, yeah,
anyway,
he's fine.
So what I saw was Guardians of the Galaxy as promised on the previous episode. So I wanted to get to it today. Here's what I was thinking yesterday, though. Had we recorded yesterday, I had not yet been able to see it. I was just going to say, why the fuck does anyone need to get me to see it? It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. Moreover, it's certainly worth the money that you would spend on a sitter. But moreover, bring your fucking kids. What are you trying to, what are you leaving them out
it
of it for?
It held the attention of Jack, the 3-year-old, for 2 hours.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That movie is 2 hours and 10 minutes.
It's a great deal of fun.
He enjoyed it thoroughly.
And I have virtually no complaints, so I'm not going to bag on it at all.
Oh, come on, you got to give us. You can't be
all right,
you.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of it that he's. Look, it's obviously based on source material.
Uh-huh.
So I have two choices. The source material dating back to the mid to late 60s. Either George Lucas stole a lot of it from the original source material, or they are making a lot of references to George Lucas, specifically Star Wars, but also some Indiana Jones.
I'm listening.
There's a lot of, I don't want to spoiler alert it for people.
Okay.
And I can
Fair
tell
enough.
You, I can
Fair
give
enough.
You specifics off the air, but there are probably no less than 24 moments where I went, that's from this other movie. That's from this other movie. Not in a bad way, much more of in an homage-y type way. And you kind of just have to have such a grand knowledge of film and so on and so forth. But no, it's just.
I don't know who that guy is, but I think I just found our film reviewer.
Yes, maybe if I talk about the Fifth Element in this voice.
Say Luke Besson in that voice.
Luke Besson. It will be a little more.
I find it delightful. You like that How to
right,
Dad guy.
There you go.
So, like,
so
I would have made that Paco if I could go back.
I can't keep it up for an entire hour and a half. But
you don't
any
talk
case,
for an hour and a half. I do. I barely let you get 6 minutes.
So I liked it a lot. And it goes back to what I was talking about before. The younger you are, the more you're absolutely going to love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that, Juan Bedoya is not going to love it.
Yeah.
But, I thought Chris Pratt was fantastic.
He is awesome.
I thought that
Bradley Cooper did an
incredible job.
Groot, Vin Diesel.
Is very, very well utilized as a character and so on and so forth.
Even Drac, the David Bautista, the wrestler.
Absolutely.
Drax is great.
He was great. So, and that the parts were well-written enough. And
stay past the credits.
The whole thing. Yeah, okay.
There's a stinger at the end.
I
think anybody, at least who's my age and maybe a little older, will dig it.
Yes. Again, we'll take it up off the air. Yeah. This is what I would say. If you're over the age of 35. No,
I'm 35.
To me, I wish I had not stayed.
Oh.
Not that it was a spoiler for anything else or anything like that.
Yeah, it wasn't.
For me, it was a little bit of a retroactive spoiler.
Yeah.
But unless I'm so out of the loop. If there was another level of connection I was supposed to make, then I would have gone, oh, okay. But as it was, I went, but in any case, so go see that. And you know what I forgot last week? And I can't say this too lightly. Don't go see Purge Anarchy or whatever the fuck it's called. And for that matter, don't go see the previous one. I've seen both, and so it's my own fault. They have a really great idea for a franchise, and they fucked them both up.
Yeah, they're trying really hard to make this the new Saw, I think.
I think so, too. And the thing is that the first one was just awful, and I thought, really, what I would have liked to have seen was, and I had a little thing in my head, and then they did a version of that little thing for this one, and that sucked, too. So I'm like, look, clearly it's in the hands of the wrong people, and also everyone will love it except for me because I'm an old, bitchy fuck. And so anyway, don't worry. Unless if you like that sort of thing, go. And I mean that as exactly as contemptuously as you thought I meant it last time. But otherwise, stay away from it. It's certainly not worth a sitter and probably not even worth a rental.
Thank you. Well, you're pick welcome. A flick. Next time we'll have an intro for you and
that's
an outro.
Fine. Don't worry
I apologize.
About it. I barely got it in.
Yeah, that's what she said.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So that's my moment of the week is when I took my boys to go see Guardians of the Galaxy, because we went and I originally had planned to take them out of school and go do it for hooky.
I love that.
And then that didn't work out because we had friends in town and their kids, they didn't think would make it through the movie. So I was like, that's fine. We'll go. And we went the day after they left, or the day they left, and the kids loved it. And then I went and got them some little toys, and it was just fun to watch them, you know, literally quoting the movie.
That's cool.
And to kind of button the whole thing is that I bought the soundtrack, because we were talking about it before we lit up the mics, is that the soundtrack is great. And so I bought it to play for in the car and stuff like that. And we did this field trip today with Jacob's class, and I was playing that, you know, the Ooka Chaka, I gotta feel it, you know,
right,
that song.
Right, right.
And he's like singing along with it, and these other kids are like, what the hell is this garbage? And so it was just cool for me that he would. And then they were like, one of the little boys was like, on the way back, can we not listen to that music? And Jacob goes, it's good. We're going to listen to it.
That's awesome. From both of them, that's awesome.
Right. And it's the same thing that I said earlier. I thought it was adorable with Jack. The other part I didn't tell of the story when Natalie, before I came out here, said, what is your favorite thing about Dad? Jack says, he gives me lunch. Or no, he said he makes me lunch, actually. That, right. And then Jacob says, he loves me so much. And then Jack looks at me and he goes, you love me so much, too.
Right. Uh-oh.
That one too. That one, I know it's not. I know that he's just piggybacking on top of it, but yeah. I like to think that his 3-year-old brain was like, oh, I guess mine was kind of about me.
No. His was awesome.
Yeah, his was good.
His was less of an ass kisser.
Yeah,
answer.
Yeah. No, Jacob means it.
I'm sure, don't you dare take this
away from me, you son of a bitch.
No.
Don't you do this. I told you the artichoke story.
I think that
I held through for an hour and a half and I'm about to fucking break down. I'm so drunk.
I thought that you make me lunch. To me, that actually almost is better than I love you.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised you didn't push it and turn to her and say, what do you like most about Dad?
I know. It's my cock and balls. That's what it is.
That really wasn't where I was. I think it would have been interesting. And I think you should go back. You should say that to her tonight.
Oh, really?
Ask her and then come tell us what she says.
Okay. I can do that.
You know.
So much homework.
I know I promised last week that my moments of the week would have less to do with you in the future, but you are tangentially involved here.
Oh,
we were doing one of those online things. I was playing with you and Chad was wandering through the room. He's like, "Can I join you?"
Yeah,
and so sure. So we had to sort of start over again. And as we were doing that, my avatar in the game, the default, interestingly enough, is a woman. I'm not sure why they make that the default, but I don't really care. And I'm too
stupid. It actually senses your estrogen level in your thumb in the new PlayStation 4 controller.
Oh, my God. So that's funny. Why can't I get it off of this avatar? It won't change. So, of course, I'm too stupid
to know. You change it to a guy and it's got a wig, like right. A bouffant. Like, yeah, what the right. Hell? That is drag camo.
I have no idea how to change it. And Chad says, yeah, just you go here and you press that and you do this. I said, okay. So I went to do that. And he was like, I don't even know why you change it. I don't even know why you care. Just be a woman. And I thought, A, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Coming from a, you know, 13-year-old kid, that he was like, what difference does it make what this pretend version of you is? Yeah. Just have it be whatever it is. What he didn't understand is that I spend 99% of my time feeling like a woman. Yes. And if I'm gonna go into a fantasy world and kill people, I could be a man there. I could feel like there's some...
I want to have, you know, chest hair that curls over the top
exactly,
of my t-shirt.
Exactly. But it was really his point of view of, like, what difference does it make? Just,
right.
You know, let's just go have fun and not stop worrying so much.
Well, when you started this, I thought that there was going to be – because I think there's a lot of female avatars within the game.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that there's a lot of players, because if you look at the name, it just doesn't seem to line up.
Yeah.
My theory is that in the game, the female characters are thinner, so it's a harder target to hit.
Oh,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah. So, which is cool because I like it's the same point that you're making that you think that they'd be like, well, not worth it, but there are guys like, no, I want to win. Yeah. I don't care if it means that I have to be.
And if it means that the other guy is going to hesitate for a split second,
I can't shoot a girl. Oh my gosh, look at those curves.
It's true enough. I don't know. I may have had a moment with Diego, but it's all in all likelihood just fallen out of my head. So
I'm very tired. This is the end of the day for us.
Oh my god,
it's harder when we do these night shows.
It is. And I had other stories to tell you, but I'll save it for next time.
Save it for next time.
Yeah, no, that'll just make your head explode.
Send us an email to show at thedadpodcast.com. And then also, please send in questions. I got another text today from Rachel Gibbs who's saying, when are we going to do a show? So send in your questions for Rachel Gibbs. That's our love intern, family and sex therapist. And Adam's having pen issues.
This pen worked 2-3 minutes ago. Now it's absolutely dead.
It's a man pen, and it only works.
Reacts to the estrogen in my hand.
Don't forget to give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. There's also a way on your smartphone that you could turn on notifications if you want to know when we're taking calls. You could do the same thing on Twitter at dadpodcast. You could follow me on Twitter at Justin Worsham. Follow Paco Lancini at The Real Paco L on Twitter. You can also play us online if you want. My gamer tag is Justin Comedy on the PlayStation Network if you want to play a little Call of Duty. We have Ghosts now, and then I've already pre-ordered the new one that's coming out.
What is my gamer tag?
Call of Dooley.
Call of Dooley.
Yes, Call of Dooley is Adams, if you want to add him as a friend as well. And catch us online. And I think that is about it. Don't forget, you can go to thedadpodcast.com. For just $24 a year, you could change our lives, and we could make this our full-time gig. Paco has something.
This is a message specifically for Sam.
Oh.
Much like we say, call this number, and you call this number. I want to tell you, Sam, donate this money.
Sam's going to go to his parents and go, what the fuck are you talking about? They're going to listen to one episode. And they're going to be like, what the? No. If you're not tired of hearing my voice, you can also check out my other podcast, Justin is Married, Booker is Single, available on iTunes and Stitcher. How dare you? And on behalf of my old friend, Paco Lancini, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.